540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Activity in Washington, D.C. and Georgia today as grand juries work on 2020 election cases that could further imperil former President Trump. CBS's Nicole Killian in Atlanta.
The investigation has been ramping up in recent days with witnesses speaking before the grand jury and being interviewed by the special counsel and some of the prosecutors, including some Georgia officials like the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, recently. So there is some crossover and some overlap between these two cases, even though they are different. But really, it's a matter of time before we know which one will come first, if you will.
Court appearance set for today in New York for the man charged in the Gilgo Beach murders that date back more than a decade. Former FBI profiler Mary Ellen O'Toole says the investigation's been intense.
We know that once somebody becomes a serial killer, that takes practice. And practice means there had to be other murders that occurred where they're learning their trade. They're learning how to become serial killers.
Hottest July ever in Phoenix, but yesterday ended a record 31-day streak of daily highs above 110. It hit 108. The Weather Channel's Jim Cantore says high heat's going to be a factor for a while in the southern half of the country.
The heat is what we've got, especially in the Plain States. We're talking about 110-degree heat in a lot of these areas, especially when you factor in the humidity. It's going to go into Florida, and it's going back into Phoenix.
The family of Henrietta Lacks is settling a lawsuit against a biotech company it accuses of improperly profiting from her cells. The federal lawsuit claimed Thermo Fisher Scientific made billions from tissue taken without the black woman's consent from her cervical cancer tumor. They were the first human cells to be successfully cloned. The March of Dimes estimates 1 in 30 women live in the U.S. in what are known as maternity care deserts. CEO Elizabeth Chereau.
We think about emergencies such as hypertension or needing an emergency C-section. You know, you may be driving hours to go get this care or not be able to get to someplace because of we've seen the decline and closures of maternity wards. Actually, we've seen a 4% decline over the last year.
NASA says it has heard from its 46-year-old Voyager 2 spacecraft after a wrong command cut off communications. U.S. women's soccer team settled for a scoreless draw with Portugal. It was enough to advance at the World Cup. U.S. star Alex Morgan.
We missed some big chances. I did as well. We should have put some in the back of net, and we didn't. We own that.
Wall Street right now, the Dow's up 13. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. We're still trying to learn more about a visit from the vice president. Kamala Harris is scheduled to stop in Milwaukee and Pleasant Prairie Thursday in appearances connected to broadband funding efforts. The exact locations and roads impacted by the motorcade aren't yet known. A judge has dismissed a lawsuit filed by State Representative Janelle Branchon against Wisconsin's Elections Commission over 3 military ballots mailed to her house. The judge said the suit should have been directed at Milwaukee's election office instead. The judge did acknowledge a need for the Elections Commission to clarify military ballot handling, but said he lacked the authority to order them to do so. Two guys that robbed a Milwaukee bank yesterday got away but didn't get far. About $10,000 was recovered after the afternoon heist at the U.S. Bank near 54th and Congress in Milwaukee. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, Racine and Kenosha. Civic Media and WRJN have landed your Green Bay Packers.
Not only will you be able to hear your team run over the NFL this year,
but now is your time to make your dream come true and be an official partner with the Green Bay Packers. One phone call is all it'll take to set up an appointment for Tuesday, August 1st and Wednesday, August 2nd. WAUK and WRJN will be around to talk to you and your company about how you can have your brand associated with not only the Packers, practice for the Badgers and local high school sports.
And we'll also buy you lunch.
What are you waiting for? Call Civic Media now at 608-819-8255 to secure an appointment for next week.
Only a handful of Packers sponsorships left, so call us now.
608-819-8255. You don't want to miss out on a partnership that will be more profitable than your fantasy football team. 608-819-8255. This deal is a guaranteed touchdown. Yeah! This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM, WAUK.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I saw it go. Holy crap, Janet.
I saw it go.
Janet Prozewitz for Supreme Court.
I saw it go. Damn it, Janet, I love you.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere. And one thing about Civic Media is that we have a weekly team meeting as we're all spread out across the state, different stations. And the meeting every other week is while we are on air. So I checked the meeting notes yesterday, and I saw the first line item of the meeting was Rational Revolution. I go, what the hell is that? And I pinged one of my teammates. I go, is this a new campaign we're doing or what is Rational Revolution? And they said, no, it's a new show that's going to be on WGBW in Green Bay and WISS Air Support in Oshkosh with Kristen Alfheim and Emily Cephos. And I was like, woo-hoo! I know them. And I was so excited. So I pinged both of you immediately. And I said, do you want to come on the show tomorrow to talk about your show that is starting on Thursday? So welcome to the show, ladies.
Why, thank you.
So just as a refresher, both of you have been on the show. I think, Emily, you've come on as a caller before, and Kristen, you've come on as a candidate before. But Kristen is a longtime federal advocate, current Appleton City Council member, and a former state Senate candidate. And Emily is a mom of three, former teacher, and community organizer. And now both of you can add radio show hosts to your resume. So how did this happen? How did you guys come up with the show? And how, like, it's starting on Thursday.
I'm not sure we know the answer to that. We were in the midst of having a meeting on something in Outagamie County, and I'm not sure if it was Emily or I said we should do a radio show. And Emily thought, well, that would be fun. And so I texted Sage Weil,
our boss.
We are a big, you know. And, you know, what we hear in the community is that people just want to have civilized conversations again. We don't have to agree on everything, mm-hmm. but wouldn't it be nice to listen to one another and perhaps gain a bit of knowledge to add to what our beliefs are already? And that in itself is a great step forward for Wisconsin. Emily, what are your thoughts?
I mean, echoing that, I think also being in the Fox Valley, it's really like purple politically. Mm-hmm. So we've got like a very... We've got people that experience legislation from the federal level and the state level in very different ways. And it's like about connecting the dots for us. It's about saying like, here's how it fits outside the door and how people in one of the like most back and forth areas in the state are experiencing it and what their like thoughts on all of the things that are happening are. So we're excited.
Obviously, I can speak to this after being on the air for a year. The show will change over time. But as far as what you're thinking right now, is it mostly going to be the two of you talking? Are you going to get guests on? Do you know what kind of topics you want to tackle? Like, for at least if you're mapping out the first month of shows, what does it look like?
Yeah, so our topics are going to be the topics that we all want to talk about. There's really no topic that's off topic. So whether it be healthcare, whether it be education, whether it be guns, whether it be inflation and the economy, every one of these, it could be housing. Every conversation we have, we want to talk about the perspective from multiple views. So the conversation will take place between the two of us. We will have guests from time to time, but we really are looking forward to having callers come in. We want to talk about, if you live in rural Wisconsin, what is your perspective of the situation? If you live in downtown Green Bay, what is your perspective? And if we can share those concepts from multiple views, we need to find what is reality in the situation beyond the banter of the discussion. So there's a never-ending pile of conversations that affect our kitchen tables on a daily basis that we never really get to get an in-depth conversation about on why it matters and why there may be differing sides of, you know, visions from it. I come from a background from rural Wisconsin. I grew up on a small town in Wisconsin. I then lived on a lake in the suburbs. I now live in downtown Appleton. So depending on where you live and what your vision of life looks like at the time really adds a lens to how you feel about legislation. And we have to be able to talk about that so that we can see, again, civilized dialogue is our intent. So if we could give some empathy from different perspectives on a weekly basis, again, we should be able to add knowledge to one another. Therefore, we all go forward together.
We are talking to Kristen Elfheim and Emily Cephos, who are the new hosts of the new show, Rational Revolution, which is starting on Thursday and will be a weekly show across, not across the civic media. It'll be on WGBW and WISS in Oshkosh in Green Bay from 7 to 8 p.m. And so in the conversation around trying to get multiple points of view, in your both of your roles right now as community organizers, do you feel like you have access to that range, or do you feel sometimes siloed in your work to hearing the same opinions again and again? Because I want to do the same thing on this show, but sometimes it's hard as far as I think who my leanings attract and who's attracted to my content, who's attracted to the show. And so trying to get more of a variety of guests and voices who call in, you know, we're siloed, right? And so do you guys have a plan, or do you feel like you already have enough people that can span that range to make their voices heard?
I was going to say that I think with your state senate campaign, you've definitely connected, and I think you're great about kind of reaching that squishy middle, we like to call it, of folks that are like not super far in either direction, that just sort of rational and pragmatic Wisconsinites. So I know that Kristen has a lot of networking that she's done because she truly does care about the community members up here. And I also think, like, as far as the plan goes, what we're trying to do is like take those headlines and take those sound bites from either side, right? If Robin Voss says something or Governor Evers says something, like, here's the headline, here's the quote, but what is the actual impact on Wisconsinites behind it on both sides? Because there's always going to be like an argument. So, I mean, I think we'll likely need to establish ourselves as being rational and fair, but we're hoping that that will lead itself to, you know, allowing either the left or the right to come on and feel like they have a fighting chance as far as proving their point and sharing their opinions.
Yeah, in my history, I spent the bulk of my time in politics on the federal level and in Madison, talking with both sides. I represented one group that was very much leaning towards the Democratic side and one that leaned towards the conservative side. So I had to learn over a decade ago how to be able to connect with both sides and find what we had in common. And that takes effort. But with that, you learn to have, you create that relationship and a trusted relationship that you can have a conversation with someone that you know you don't agree 100% with. And that's okay. I am very much a person that 50% of my friends are on the blue side and 50% are on the red side. And I got an awful lot of friends that are right there in the middle with me. So in my opinion on this show, we probably will tick off a lot of people because we're going to try very hard not to say this is the only answer and the right answer. We're going to try and say this is what people feel in the situation, and this is how it affects people. And then let people come to a conclusion that may lean them one side or the other, but we're not going to push them there. We're going to allow the conversation to take place. And that is the first thing we can do in terms of
I just hope that we can get back to the place in Wisconsin where compromise is not an evil, dirty word because we can't get anything done otherwise.
Right. And you know what? It is okay to disagree. I have two very good friends. One is New York City liberal and one is small town conservative Wisconsin. We could not be more different on a political path, and yet we're the best of friends. Imagine. Just imagine.
What do you guys talk about?
We talk about a lot of things. And there's a level where we hit a red line. We're like, and good, because we respect each other enough to say, we know we don't agree there. Let's just leave it be. And we go past it. Oh, my God. What a mature thought.
Well, that's what's so, we don't have enough time to go down that rabbit hole. But I always think that's interesting. It's like once you hit that spot with someone and the choice of, is it productive to continue talking about this, even though we know we disagree? Or do you step away from it for the sake of the relationship? And because I have a couple of those as well, where it's like, you know what? I don't need to be right on this. And I don't need for you to know that I'm right on this. So let's change the subject. Even though in my mind, I am very right on this.
In a civilized conversation, if the other person is civilized, they will have listened to a couple of nuggets. And in that, and I will have listened as well. And so in that, we have helped each other to be a little bit better, a little bit more empathetic to what the other people feel. And that's our goal. And I think we can do that. And we should be doing that across the board. We're going to try really hard to just have great civic dialogue on what's going on and how it affects everybody's families in the Northeast Wisconsin area.
So with a couple of minutes that we have left, tell us what's coming up on Thursday night.
Well, we've got that new Supreme Court justice that I believe today is being sworn in.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about what that means and what we're seeing as Wisconsin's future going forward when it comes to maps and potentially the abortion ban and things like that, and why, like, kind of the history behind it, because I think that a lot of times we don't understand the impact that gerrymandering has had and will continue to have and what the state might be facing. But like, again, hitting it from both sides, here's why what the argument was for doing it the way it was done. Here's, you know, the long and sordid tale of our maps. And then here's what might happen with a new liberal leaning Supreme Court in the state.
And we've got to be realistic about it. I would say that 50% of the population didn't give a crap about who was on the bill for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's time we start paying attention. But we start by, again, not slapping them in the head by saying, shame on you, you didn't know better. But let's say, this is why it matters. Here's what's changed in the last 10 years because we didn't pay attention. And now let's move forward. Let's be more educated electorates so we can get out there and do what's right when the time comes for the best of the state.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Thursday, 7 p.m.
Get the Civic Media app.
Get the Civic Media app. So anyone listening who is not in the range of WISS air support, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, or in WGBW's range, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, you can still listen. So you can listen on either of those stations. You can listen to the Civic Media app. You can download it as a podcast. But Rational Revolution with Kristen Alfheim and Emily Cephos. Good luck, ladies. I can't wait to listen.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Civic Media family, and thanks for coming on today. Have a great day, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye, Jane. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, ladies. See ya. All right, when we come back, Kirsten Finn is going to talk about the ride across Wisconsin. And I'm curious to know, does that mean superior to Milwaukee? That feels very long. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 84. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 64. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, high of 87. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Thursday with highs around 88. 80 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Bicycle. I want to ride my
bicycle. Bicycle. Bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And speaking of bicycles, over the weekend, River West 24 happened.
Oh, it did.
And if you're not familiar, it's the People's Holiday. It's one of the best events, I think, ever in Milwaukee. It's completely volunteer run, and it is a 24-hour bicycle. It's not even a race. It's just...
Let's go ride our bikes.
It's ride your bikes. You complete laps, but there's also challenges, one of which is getting a tattoo that gives you laps. But it is just... The neighborhood of River West in Milwaukee comes alive, and it is...
That's cool.
It's very bike-heavy, but also bike-heavy is the... Ride Across Wisconsin. And so here to tell us a little bit more about what that looks like is Kirsten Finn, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Welcome to the show, Kirsten. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So before we jump into the details of the race itself, remind people what the Wisconsin Bike Fed is.
Sure. The Wisconsin Bike Fed is our state's statewide advocacy organization. And we serve the state in three ways. We educate people on how to ride their bikes safely. We advocate for federal funds to be spent on bike paths, protected bike lanes, and things like multi-use paths for people to run or walk their dogs or ride their bikes. And then we produce awesome events that promote bike tourism in Wisconsin, like Ride Across Wisconsin.
Amazing. So Ride Across Wisconsin makes me think that this is like superior to Milwaukee, which is it that far, or what is the route for across Wisconsin?
Yeah, so we change the route every 3 years so that people can see more of the state. And so we are in year two of the route that is La Crosse to Milwaukee. So you start at the Mississippi River in La Crosse, and then you end at Lake Michigan.
Jane's face Woof. Just looks tired without even.
Wowza. I mean, what a beautiful place to start. To start in La Crosse, because it's so gorgeous. But I mean, Kirsten, for somebody like me, that would take a month.
Well, it's a big undertaking. It's 235 total miles. And we have, I would say, a third of the people try it in one day. And
wow.
The rest, do it in 2 days. Yeah.
2 days.
Yeah,
so that's
it's a big ride.
So what is the expertise level of the average person who rides in this race?
Well, obviously, you need to train for it. And we provide a training schedule to get you ready. But to include more folks, you know, this year for the first time, we have people who can participate in as little as 11 miles. We have a family fun ride that is on the Elroy Sparta Trail. It starts in Sparta and goes to Norwalk. And you can go 11 miles one way and take a shuttle back, or you can do 22-mile loop. And then another popular option, a lot of folks ride just from La Crosse to the Wisconsin Dells and then get a shuttle back to La Crosse. So we try to make sure that as many people can participate as want to. But I know that for a lot of really passionate cyclists, they're really looking for a challenge like crossing the entire state by bike. So we like to provide that option as well.
Kirsten, how many, I mean, if you do the whole thing in 2 days from La Crosse to Milwaukee, how many miles are they averaging in a day?
So you do 100 miles on the first day from Milwaukee to Wisconsin Dells. And because it is Wisconsin, we have a big party in the Dells.
Nice.
And then the second day is 135 miles from the Dells to Milwaukee. And some folks choose to ride from the Dells to the Trek bicycle headquarters in Waterloo, Wisconsin, which is 165 miles. So we also have a big party with beer there. And then we're ending this year at American Family Field with a big tailgate there. So we are celebrating people who are riding all different mileage.
And so far, how many people are signed up to do the full race, the full ride?
So far, we have, we have 710 people participating so far.
Wow. That's really impressive.
Where do they sleep in the Dells? Is it hotels or do they camp?
They, some of both.
Okay.
Our midpoint in the Dells is Mirror Lake State Park. We have a wonderful partnership with the Department of Natural Resources. And this year we're offering a lot of options for people who bring their families along. So we have nature activities for kids, like hikes, and we have like a word search or a bingo game, a car bingo game for kids who are kind of on a road trip along with their parents. But then we do have a lot of folks that stay in water parks, and we also have partner hotels in all of the communities we go through. So, you know, one of the things that we're really trying to do is promote Wisconsin as a great place to come for a family vacation and for a great place to come on a bicycling vacation. So we've gotten support from Visit Milwaukee, from the Dells, and also from Travel Wisconsin. So we're really trying to encourage folks to give. We know how awesome it is to ride in Wisconsin. There's just nowhere more beautiful than Wisconsin country roads. But we just want to make sure that the rest of the country knows about it as well.
Absolutely. And so it's happening on August 19th and the 20th. And so for people who are, is it too late, do you think, for the average person, as long as they've been training, to still sign up and do the whole race? Or
no,
is
not
that at all? Okay.
Anyone could still sign up, because you could do 11 miles today, no matter who you are. So it is absolutely not too late to sign up. You would do that at rideacrosswisconsin.com. And our website lays out all of the different options.
Absolutely. Rideacrosswisconsin.com, August 19th through the 20th. Anything else people should know before we let you go?
No, it just, you know, if you see riders coming through your community, please cheer them on. They're working hard, and we just want to make sure that everyone feels welcome.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Kirsten Finn is the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed, and go check out rideacrosswisconsin.com. If you
11
either
miles.
Want,
I could do 11
If you
miles.
Either want to participate or you want to see the route and cheer them on, but this is an awesome event to go support in one way or another. Thanks so much for joining us, Kirsten.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Well, when we come back, physics professor at Lawrence University, Megan Pickett, is here to tell us about Elda Anderson. You probably have never heard of, but she is was a hidden figure on the Manhattan Project, which is timely with the Oppenheimer movie out. So we will talk to her on the other side of the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. School of man, I don't want to be the president of America.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Grand juries at work in D.C. and Georgia today on election cases that could bring new indictments against former President Trump. CBS's Nicole Killian in Atlanta.
This is now the window where the district attorney has identified that she is likely to make this charging decision, warning a county official she only expects things to potentially intensify.
Federal safety officials looking into a 250,000 Teslas, as we hear from reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
The issue is steering that can possibly fail on about 280,000 Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. Those are Tesla's best-selling products. There have been a dozen reports of loss of steering control or power and one crash.
The U.S. holding on for dear life at the Women's World Cup, salvaging a scoreless tie with Portugal.
We're not happy with the performance we put out there, but at the same time, we're moving on.
American star Alex Morgan and the rest of the team now into the knockout round. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. On a violent Monday in Milwaukee, six people were shot, including two fatalities. One of the deceased victims was identified as a 53-year-old man who was shot while mowing his lawn. The other victim, a 34-year-old, remains unidentified. Governor Tony Evers strongly condemned the neo-Nazi gathering that took place in Watertown over the weekend. Around 12 individuals dressed in black waved a swastika flag during a local Pride in the Park event. Kamala Harris is scheduled to stop in Milwaukee and Pleasant Prairie Thursday in appearances connected to broadband funding efforts. A judge has dismissed a lawsuit filed by State Representative Janelle Branchon against Wisconsin's Elections Commission over three military ballots mailed to her house. The judge said the suit should have been directed at Milwaukee's election office instead. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Start a reaction that can't be contained. Balance your pH by sharing my base. I'll be your star if you'll be my space. Cause there is no distance that I wouldn't go. Through space-time and wormholes, my matter would flow to the edge of the universe.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. What song were we just listening to?
That's a science love song.
Science love song.
Science love song by ASAP Science.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, just a reminder, in the next segment, we are going to be giving away 2 to 4 more tickets for the state fair.
You can't lose.
If you would like to win those, because you can't lose, get ready to call in at 1150-844-967-2789. We will play our fun game about food, state fair food. So we will be playing that in the next segment. But for this segment, so I did see Barbie over the weekend. Still want to talk about that tomorrow. But I have yet to see Oppenheimer. But that is the other movie, obviously, driving so many people to the theaters right now. It's Christopher Nolan's new film about the Manhattan Project during World War II that led to the creation of nuclear weapons. And then yesterday, I saw an article in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a Wisconsin woman who worked on the Manhattan Project, but is not a character in Oppenheimer and someone I had never heard of. So I'm so excited to talk to our next guest. Megan Pickett is a Lawrence University professor of physics, and she's currently researching the life of Elda Anderson, who is Wisconsin's Marie Curie. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so this is, I love stories like this as far as just
the hidden figures
of history that are often women. Mm-hmm. But I guess to just get started, who was Elda Anderson?
That's a great question because, so she was a Wisconsin born and bred physicist. She was born in 1899 in Green Lake. And she went to college at Ripon and at Madison, and then eventually became a physics professor at Milwaukee Downer College. And in fact, she was the first woman to earn tenure in physics at Milwaukee Downer College. And then a few decades later, Milwaukee Downer College merged with Lawrence College to make Lawrence University, which is where I teach. Elda was fascinated with fundamental physics. Her main interest in physics was trying to tease out the structure of matter. And that's what she did her dissertation on in Madison, by looking at the light of calcium and nickel and being able to map out the structure of those atoms. Her exactingly precise work, which again was done without computers, mm-hmm. done by hand, got her the attention of the War Department in Princeton. So she was recruited to Princeton in the early 40s. And then while she was at Princeton, she was one of the first people that was recruited to the Manhattan Project. The Manhattan Project was a series of different labs. We often think of the Manhattan Project and think of Los Alamos. Los Alamos is technically what they call Project Y. They had a couple of labs in Hanford and in Oak Ridge to make the fuel. They had a place in Chicago, a place in Princeton, but Los Alamos is where they built the bomb.
Yeah.
And her job there was to analyze the light and figure out how likely was it that you could split apart the uranium fuel to make the bomb work. So she was, without her work, without what she did and how she did it, the bomb wouldn't have worked. So she was there. She was there for the Trinity test. She stayed about another year after that. And then when she came back to Wisconsin, she only stayed at Milwaukee Downer for another year or two before being offered a position at Oak Ridge Lab, where she helped create a brand new branch of physics called health physics, which looked at the impact of radiation on human beings, health, and how do you interact safely with radiation. And that's what she worked on the remainder of her career until she died in 1961 of cancer, possibly due to her war research. Nobody's ever heard of her.
Yeah.
And she was well known. She was well known at the time, and she kind of slipped into obscurity.
Megan, do we know much about her childhood? Did she come from a scientific family? She must have been a unicorn among physicists at that time.
She was. So her family history is kind of interesting. She was the second of three children. She had an older sister, a younger brother. Her brother died in a car crash. But early in her childhood, there was a big scandal. Her father kind of ran off with the local doctor's wife. And so she was on her own with her mom and her siblings, and she excelled in math and was encouraged to study math and Latin and physics at Ripon College. And it turned out that she was so good that they held her on to help do some of the teaching while she was there. She graduated in 22. She went to Iowa for a job at a junior college. They didn't have science departments or science division. So at the age of, I think she was 24, she created the science division at this junior college and became its first dean. And I think of what I was doing when I was 24. I was not the dean of science.
You weren't starting academic divisions at schools.
No.
But then after that, she came back to Fox Valley and was principal at Menasha High School for a couple of years before she then joined the faculty of Milwaukee Dana College. And that's where I first learned of her. When I earned tenure in 2010, and the archivist here told me I was the first woman to earn tenure in physics at Lawrence in our 175-year history. And then she said, but if you include Milwaukee Downer College, you're the second. First one is Elba. And there's just no monument, no buildings or anything named after her. So it's really what drove me to start researching her life.
So what has that process been like? Because you're a physicist. You teach physics, mm-hmm. which is science. And now you are on a historical research journey that is, like, hopefully, I think, from what I got from the article, is like you're going to publish a biography on her. So how different is this from the research you're used to doing?
Oh, it's so different. Because I'm a theoretical astrophysicist, so I don't normally deal with people. I simulate how solar systems form, and so this is a very different kind of research. Unfortunately, I have a collaborator, Kim Keffert, who's a professor at University of Michigan, and who has won. There's an annual award in Elda's name for health physics, and she's a previous winner of that award. So she's been working on this separately. I gave a talk about Elda a few years ago. She heard about that. We've gotten together, and so we're sharing notes and materials, and it is a very much a different process, right? I'm learning how to submit Freedom of Information Act requests, how to do interviews. And then, the nice thing about it is that it's also kind of reflective. I think about my own career. Kim thinks about her own career. We think about our own connections to this wonderful woman who's been forgotten and yet contributed so much to two different fields in physics, and then who died so really so young.
We're talking to Megan Pickett, who is a professor of physics at Lawrence University, about her research about Elda Anderson, who worked on the Manhattan Project, was from Wisconsin, and also just not a lot of people know about her. I'm so happy that the Journal Sentinel wrote about this, so now that I know about her. But it's interesting because, of course, that term hidden figures, you think about the movie. You think about the movie that came out about the women who worked on the space program at NASA. And it's interesting, like, in your research about Elda, is there other women that have popped up? Like, it's hard not to imagine how many of these figures exist that contributed and worked on projects and kept their head down. And unless you're searching for it, like, you don't know who they were.
Right. Yeah. So I have. And some of the women that I've come across, I've heard of before. So there are Lisa Meitner's work and Irene Joliet Curie's work. They weren't technically part of the project, but their work led to the developments in the project. The Manhattan Project had about 600 women working in different parts of the project. Most of them were in what was called, especially at Los Alamos, were part of the Calutron, which is such an old way that women used to work in sciences. They were human computers. In the history of astronomy, there's a tradition of human computers. That these were women who did the jobs, the tedious, long classification jobs that male scientists didn't want because it didn't pay well and was a lot of work, and it wasn't very flashy. And so there was a group of women that were essentially doing all of the calculations at Project Y. But at Project Y itself, probably about a dozen actual women who were scientists. Of those, Elda was the oldest. She was older than most people. The average age at Project Y was something like 25. And she was 44. 1984, when she arrived, Oppenheimer celebrated his 40th birthday while they were there. And being older then meant that she was more or less in charge of the women. She sort of ran the women's dormitory and was kind of a mother figure, which is what she was like at Milwaukee Donor. Huh. But there were certainly other women that were involved. And in fact, there's a woman engineer that worked on the construction of the gadget, the actual test bomb that was loaded up onto the frame for the Trinity test. But it was there were women that were part of the project, but very few of their stories are told. They're starting to be told now, but it's sort of drips and drabs.
Yeah.
Hey, Christopher Nolan, if you're listening, this is your next movie.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Yeah. It was like the real Barbenheimer would have been a movie about the women. Because I think my mom read a book, I think, called Girls of Atomic City, which I think it's similar to what you were just talking about, right? She said it was a fascinating book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in fact, in Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, there's one woman character in the at Los Alamos who shows up, and there's just a brief scene where she doesn't know where to go, and she asks Oppenheimer, and Oppenheimer asks her, how fast can she type? And she says, I don't know, I'm a nuclear physicist. And so she represents that one person, and I don't think she even has a name, represents all the women that were at Manhattan Project. It was a cheap, kind of a quick way to include them in. And, you know, I get it. I really liked Oppenheimer.
You liked the movie?
And, I loved it. Okay. I thought the science and the politics of it were great. And it was a study of Oppenheimer. It wasn't supposed to be this big expansive thing of the entire project. So I get that. I would love to see a movie about the women that worked on the Manhattan Project. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be based off of your pending biography on Elda Anderson.
For sure.
Get those royalties. Professor Megan Pickett, thank you so much. This was fascinating to learn about, and I can't wait to find once this is published and out there. It's so interesting.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right. When we come back, we will give away those State Fair tickets. So if you would like to go to the State Fair for free, 844-967-2789. You can't lose. You just have to play 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute.
Because the heart doesn't feel when it comes to love. The brain seals the deal.
This is your science love song. A place to start. Our chemical bond, a research endeavor, the conclusion together, for adaptations of bibliography,
because you matter to me.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 a.m. WAUK.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me. and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 84. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 64. Tonight, partly cloudy. A mix of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, highs level off around 87. A blend of clouds and sun Thursday, with daytime highs approaching 88. 80 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Don't miss it. Don't leave it.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mettner. And just to wrap up and put a little bow on...
That was so interesting.
So interesting. You know, previous Miss Wisconsin, who is currently Miss America...
Is a physicist.
Is like a blonde, beautiful young woman who is also a nuclear physicist.
It's mind-boggling.
And so she is... She made the connection. I think she threw it out there. I was like, does any marketing team want to talk to me about this Barbenheimer thing? All right. Well, talking about... Maybe as a Wisconsin, maybe she'll show up to the Wisconsin State Fair.
That'd be great.
But we do have a new Miss Wisconsin, so she may have other obligations. But it's time to win some State Fair tickets. Who do we have playing?
Penny from Plainfield is joining us. Good morning, Penny. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm totally excited.
Good. We love having some enthusiasm. So I'll just remind you of the rules of the game. So I'm going to read off three different types of food that are new to the State Fair this year. You get to pick one that you're going to eat the entire thing at least once, one that you're going to eat every day for the rest of your life, and one you're never going to eat and you're going to banish to hell. Are you ready, Penny?
Absolutely.
All right. Number one. Cotton candy jerky. Oh. A new twist on a favorite fair food, cotton candy jerky is an old-fashioned beef jerky flavored like cotton candy. This sweet, salty jerky is sure to please fairgoers of all ages. I don't even know what that would... I can't even imagine what that tastes like and feels like in your mouth.
Bad. Sounds bad.
All right, number two. Flamin' Hot Cheetos chocolate bark. Oh. With the Flamin' Hot Cheetos chocolate bark, you won't be able to stop at just one bite. Mix Flamin' Hot Cheetos into rich milk chocolate to create the best tasting spicy snack at the State Fair.
If it was dark chocolate,
maybe they'd sell you?
Maybe they could sell me, but I don't know about that.
All right, and the last one is pretty straightforward, Penny. Deep-fried garlic gator toes.
Oh.
Get your gator toes deep-fried and flavored like garlic.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'll give you a second to think, but then what is going to be your option to eat the entire thing?
Well, compared to my choices, I guess I'd do the cotton candy jerky.
Okay.
Eat it once and get it out of the
way. Get it out of the way.
Correct.
What do you want to eat every day for the rest of your life?
I will do the chocolate Cheetos.
Ooh, do you like Flamin' Hot Cheetos normally on their own?
Here and there. I like them. They don't like me.
They don't agree with the digestive tract, but my taste buds, good to go. All right. So that means you have no interest in deep fried gator toes?
No, it doesn't even sound interesting. And, you know, that's no, thank you.
I'm also confused. I feel like when you think of an alligator's foot, there wouldn't be a lot of meat on your toes.
That's the exact thought I had.
Like, it seems like a lot of bone and not a lot of chewy fat things that would taste good, even deep fried. So I agree with you. Well, I think that was a good thing. Go ahead, Penny.
If you go try them, you let me know, okay?
Okay. Well, I am deciding. I was like, when I go, now that we've been playing this game with callers, it's like, all right, when I go... What is going to be my top, like, five things?
Because you're going to do a TikTok.
Because I'm going to do a TikTok and just, like, rank the things that I've... But I was like, there's so many, and there's so many weird ones that I'm like, how do I even choose which ones I'm going to actually spend my own money to subject myself to.
Again, I wish they would have a sampler day.
I know.
Where you could just get a small taste of the weird things instead of having to get an entire portion of gator toes. But maybe next year.
Pitch that to, that,
yeah,
pitch that
you
idea
want
then.
10 toes.
You don't want 10 toes.
You need the one.
Penny, what is your other favorite thing to do at the fair?
Oh, I love going to the animal barns and everything. You know, I'm a little up there in age where I can't do the rides much anymore. So,
I mean, I can't. I'm not that up there in the age, and I think I'm beyond doing the rides as well.
You gotta go to the tent where they have the dogs doing the agility stuff. It is the most. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to watch, and it's just pure joy. It's just joyful.
Absolutely. You know what else I remember? Shearing the sheep. And how good they are. The people who shear the sheep and how good they are.
Fast.
And how fast they are and stuff. That's always really fun to watch, too. All right. Well, Penny, thank you for listening and thank you for playing. Have so much fun.
Don't hang up.
Don't hang up. Jane's going to get your information.
I really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you. We love that you enjoy it. All right. Well, that'll. We still got a couple minutes left for today, but that was a really fun show.
It just flew by. And if you missed the interview that we just did with Megan Pickett, go back to the podcast and take a listen, because it's a Hidden Figures movie in and of itself.
It's so interesting.
It really is. And it just shows, I guess, how important women were in the in the creation of so many things. And it only takes, you know, 75 years for them to get any credit.
But you know, it was also what I was thinking, flashback to our show on Friday with Maggie Dawn, of who writes the history books, who tells the stories, because there are so many stories to tell. And I think about a friend of mine who, she moved to Savannah, Georgia a couple years back now, and upon moving there, she went on some history tour, because it's a city that has a lot of history.
It's supposed to be a beautiful city.
And she found out all the information about, you know, the rich history of the woman who started Girl Scouts.
Oh.
And not only just the history of her starting Girl Scouts, but she herself has this incredible story as far as her marriage and her divorce and all of this stuff. And so now she's a writer, but she's writing her biography and like she's been working on it. But I just think about like the dominance of Girl Scouts still has today, as you know, every once a year, we're all very excited to get our Girl Scout cookie order. And yet even her story hasn't necessarily been told, despite the fact that it's fascinating.
Well, there's got to be someone who's willing to take it on. And as Megan just said, too, filing FOIA requests and tracking all this stuff down and finding, you know, who's still alive that I could talk to about this. It's a big undertaking.
That is not her main job.
Right.
Her main job is to teach, be a tenured professor of physics at Lawrence University. But let's take on this other project that is totally outside of my research and experience.
I got so much time.
And so certainly go back. And as always, if you ever miss any part of our show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find wherever you find podcasts or on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. Of course, you can download the app, so you can always take us with you. You can also text us and call us from there.
More state fair tickets tomorrow.
Two times. We got two more times for tomorrow to give away state fair tickets. And then I'm going to Vegas after tomorrow's show, which I made a joke yesterday saying it's Mike's 40th birthday, and his present is that I'm going to tolerate the heat and his debauchery in Vegas at 7.5 months pregnant.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun.
So much fun. All right, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll do this all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
State Fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair.
Yeah.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.